Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What a great conversation with Justin Simmons we just had. If you missed it, it's online at odyssey.com. And Mike, we will replay that for our audience and certainly Falcon fans a little bit later on in the show. Here's the deal, guys. Impressive. That is what Justin Simmons is. And he's been really good in his career as a player. But if you didn't hear his conversation with us, that is what I would tell you. Impressive. And I get why his teammates feel the way they do about him, Mike. You know, it's one thing if you're that guy off the floor or off the court. It's another thing when you're that guy and you can play. And this is why the Falcons wanted to help go out and get him to help improve this defense. And he said it. I think a lot of this stuff, I mean, given we don't have, and everybody knows, we don't have the best defense in the NFL. But the fact of the matter is they have had timely stops. They have gotten off the field when they've needed to. And he just mentioned, Mike, it's still coming together. Do you get the sense like the Jimmy Lake, he talked about, you know, first-year coordinator here, new players. Like some of this is still meshing the way not quite there.
And I had this thought the other day, you know, because driving to work, and I was listening to Andy Randy talking about the defense, and I was thinking to myself, you know, nothing, and this is not an indictment of Jimmy Lake, but, I mean, Ryan Nielsen, we talked about, you know, maybe a lot of fans were upset that he wasn't going to be retained because they really liked the job our defense was doing. For a minute there, I'm like, what would a Ryan Nielsen defense look with these pieces we've added? Because he did seem to, you know, kind of like what Dean Pease did, he did make some lemonade out of, not lemons, but he did kind of take it to the next level. So, anyway, Jimmy, perhaps there's some evolution. Coach did talk about that with us last week. And there's some things that need to get ironed out. And you heard that from Simmons. And, yes, a number of guys hit us up on the text line. Eric Forrest say, wow, what an impressive young man, really impressive dude. A lot of guys echoing your sentiments. But, yeah, I don't know. It, to me, Carl, it's like see quarterback, get quarterback on the ground. And we're reminded after watching that Dolphins game, you know, seeing some pieces that the Rams have accumulated that are impactful middle-round draft picks. You know, granted, this year we just got snake bit. You know, we lose two guys. We don't get to see Ruka Ro. He's on the IR.
That's right.
And I've told about Braylon Trice, but that's, you know, crying over spilt milk. We got to get something from the dudes we got here.
Let's hear Raheem Morris, guys. This is what he said about bouncing back, and he talked to us about it as well. He was on with us before Justin stopped by. You got to bounce back. You got to prepare for the Broncos.
You know, Zeno, you identify what happened, right? That was a game of the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? There was a lot of good, right? Particularly from the second quarter on both sides of the ball, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. And then there was some bad, right? There was the individual things that happened when you get beat on a one-on-one, whether it be a corner getting beat, whether you get beat up front from a guard standpoint or a tackle, whether you get beat on special teams when you're talking about the execution of a field goal. And then there was some ugly, getting a field goal blocked. You know, that's ugly. Not doing the right things when you're supposed to do, you know, getting beat on a quick snap by the Saints for a touchdown, things of that nature. Those things are ugly. Those are the things you want to eliminate. And just go back to normal football where you got a lot of good. There's always going to be bad because that's our game. And then how do you clean those things up and get better and better in order to go out here and get you another win before you bye?
Yeah, and that's – we just heard Justin say that a very similar thing to what Coach was talking about as they try to bounce back. Hey, we're live at Flowery Branch, guys. Turtles here with us, our executive producer. Big O's back at the studio handling all the things. Jersey Mike, our on-site engineer. It's time for the Daily Download.
Story number one.
let's start with what the Hawks did last night, Mike. I mean, we came in today. I think everybody around the league was surprised to see the score, 117-116. Bottom line is you are out 5 to 6 rotational players on top of Trae Young not being at the game, and you find a way to beat the Celtics last night.
And you had some, you know, let's be honest, some struggles getting the three-point shot to drop. We were like 31% last night, so you really had to do the dirty work, man, and grind. And I just love the poise they showed down the stretch because, you know, it looked like, okay, Celtics have stepped on the gas. Here we go, right? This is going to go down the tubes. And they just hung in there, man, like a championship fight. And then the Celtics missed some free throws. We talked about, you know, some of that. Jaylen Brown missing some crucial free throws. Guys making our free throws. Guys making great decisions with the ball. Some really, and by the way, sometimes which gets us screwed up in the perimeter, sometimes when we switch, you know, the guys are late to the other man. I thought everything was really flowing last night.
I did too.
Especially when you plugged in some dudes like we mentioned, Keaton Wallace just got called up from the Skyhawks.
Well, they did a good job. Listen, Jaylen Brown got pretty much what he wanted all night.
Yeah, not him. He was unstoppable.
But everybody else, you defended really well. And that includes, you know, Jason Tatum. Here is what the point in which the game we took the lead. This was a 0-0 on Kongwu's tip that gave us the lead in this game. And then, as Mike said, there was some quirky stuff that happened. We should have inbounded the ball and the game should have been over. They get it back. They have a chance to win. But this was the moment where you went, we got a chance to win this.
Dyson in the lane. Little right-hander is no good. Rebound tipped up and in. Onyeka Okongwu just tipped it in and the Hawks have taken the lead. Atlanta takes the lead. 117-116.
This game was tied, Mike, with about 7 minutes to play. And you just said, you know, you were sitting there watching going, okay, can they stay in the game? And they found a way. And then you get to 3 minutes, and it's close. And then you get to this moment where it's under a minute, and you get the tip. Man, big credit, big shout-out to all the guys last night in the effort.
Hey, and by the way, I mentioned on Twitter last night, Larry Nance Jr., 5 of 6 from three. His 3 points were daggers. And it was just again, I didn't know Larry Nance's game from Adam. 19 points last night. That was awesome. You talked about 0-0 with 15. Shots were not dropping for Reece Sashay. But we're going to get Dyson Daniels on the show tomorrow. What time is that, Chris, by the way? 3:20 we'll have Dyson Daniels on. The plunder from down under who's leading the league in steals. Man, it's... there's some good things happening. Here's the thing, now, don't lose to the crappy teams. That's one of the things I got last night on social media. Okay, great. Now, don't lose to, like, the bottom feeders in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and I will say this. You're right, but this is why the NBA and even the NFL is so crazy. You could lose your starting quarterback, get your coach fired, and you show up on Sunday and you find a way to win. That is what the leagues are about. I'm with you. The better teams find a way to win on Friday, right? Friday, you got the Wizards coming in here. You should beat the Wizards.
Right.
With or without Trae, I don't know if he'll be back, but that's after that effort last night, you go, that's what we're capable of. But I agree with you, man. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do we have coming up?
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Oh, we just talked about Jimmy Lake, and some people think maybe he might be in over his head. We're going to talk about that. Stay right there. Mike, UGA has its sights set on the number 6 team in the country. That is the Tennessee Vols. That game is going to happen Saturday. It is, guys, the biggest game of the season. You've heard us say that 3 times this year. It was Alabama early. It was Texas on the road playing the number 1 team in the country at the time. Now it is Tennessee, Mike, because let's just be honest. You lose, you're not making the playoff.
Yeah, and I know they've already tried to sort of prepare the ground for maybe a 3-loss Power 5, in other words, Big Ten or SEC, 3-loss team with a good strength of schedule. I still don't see it. But Ian Maleva looks like he's going to go. You talked about it. You know, Heupel made it sound like he was good.
Yes.
And then the word out of Knoxville, whether it's misdirection or not. Now, what's exactly his status? I did look up, and from the Knoxville Sentinel, Dante Thornton got an upper body injury. And he had like 100 yards receiving before he went out in that game. So that could be a huge loss going into Sanford Stadium for the Vols if he can't go. Midweek injury report will be released later today. But yeah, man, I know that you know, Georgia fans always felt this was going to be a tough game. But luckily, it was at home. These guys, the way they're playing defense in Knoxville, that would be a different animal. But the way we've played, the way Georgia looked last week, I can't say that I really feel confident about this game.
So that was my next question. Because, look, we all want to see the Dogs win. It's good for everybody. We want to see them have a chance to get back to a national championship. But my question for everybody that says they should be, this should be, we're being gypped, how confident are you heading into Saturday? Seriously. And this has nothing to do with Ole Miss. The totality of the season has me doubting.
Right.
Should I feel wrong about doubting why I'm doubting what I'm doubting?
No, we'll talk to Rusty Manziel about it coming up here in about 15 minutes. But it's just, there's just things that don't pass the, because the standard, you know, Kirby always uses, you know, the Kirby, you know, lexicon of... right. praises our standard, and it's just not there. But there's a lot of teams that are living in that same world. Alabama, look, that's the most impressive Alabama's looked in weeks, what they did against LSU. Tennessee, this is a gut check for them. You know, I give them a 3-1 chance to pull it off. I still think Georgia's going to get it done, but Carson Beck's got to be good with the ball.
Yeah.
Bobo's got to be good with the play calling. Frazier can't fumble.
Yeah.
Linebackers can't get caught flat-footed. You don't think they're going to do some of the things Ole Miss did against them?
Oh, they're definitely going to try. And here's the other thing I would say. Just like with Texas, Tennessee has not lived in these big games. Georgia.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can tell me all you want that it doesn't matter. You saw it mattered in Austin, and I think it matters Saturday. If you were going to ask me why I believe, that's why I believe the Dogs are going to win this game. Because that stuff transfers over when you've got kids that have been a part of it, coaching staff, they know how to handle these moments. I like Josh Heupel, Mike, and what he's done at Tennessee. They haven't had enough of these moments.
Right.
They just haven't. And last year, you know, when they beat Alabama for the first time in, you know, 16 years, that was great. But again, that was at home. This is not.
The thing about Tennessee now, where they're looking in the SEC standings, they're, you know, Georgia's looking up at them.
Yes, they are.
Because right now Tennessee, because of the conference and the conference schedule, 8-1, 5-1 in conference, Aggies at 5-1, Longhorns at 4-1, and then Georgia at 5-2. And then of course, if Georgia finishes with the same record as Ole Miss wins a tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's why these head-to-heads matter. Let's hear from Kirby Smart, guys, because one of the things that has been a side note this week is his apology now, Mike.
Oh, don't apologize for
his apology for calling one of his players an idiot for what happened at Ole Miss when he embraced a former teammate and then basically was enjoying himself with the fans. It just was a bad look. Here's Kirby.
Story number 2.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to comment on the internal stuff going on inside. He did talk to the team, did a great job. You know, I'll say I should not have called the kid an idiot. That was a mistake by me, but I appreciate Jake. He is a great kid. He works really hard. He's a team player. I think he knows it was a week, and he told the team that, so I appreciate the way he handled it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it at length yesterday. I get it. I mean, look, when you jumping up and down and dancing after your team lost on the field, there's really no way to excuse it. And you don't want to see the toxicity level go up the way it did with Georgia fans getting after the kid on social media. He has to do like a 2-page Instagram apology on this because this is where we live. But I just thought, you know, the folks going tisk tisk on Kirby, like it was a gut reaction from Kirby. He's got a million things on his plate this week, and then he walked it back. But I still think, look, stupid is as stupid does, you know. But moving on, Smile Mundon, by the way, according to Dog Nation, going to return to the field last week, I should say, and they'll need him, and Carl, to be a bigger piece. You know, we were talking about the defense and the sort of connectivity, the phrase we use, talking to Justin Simmons. They've got to have more of that, especially against the kind of stuff Heupel's going to come up with on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, guys, we got more to get to. We'll talk more about Jimmy Lake and the Falcons and this defense. They're going to have to step up on Sunday. There's no debating it. You heard Coach talk about the quarterback situation in Denver, their wide receivers. Guys, they probably should have beaten the Chiefs too.
Right.
I mean, we talk about our game. They probably should have won last week. They are a good football team. Believe it or not, I know you want to see the record and go, they're .500. Don't go in there slipping. We'll get into that and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at the Ticketmaster Studios up here at Flowery Branch. We talked to Coach already. We had a great conversation with Justin Simmons. You'll hear both of those a little bit later on in the show, but we got to talk to Rusty Manziel right now. Nobody covers college football like Rusty. Nobody knows folks in the state of Georgia and around the Southeast more than Rusty. And, of course, Rusty, the big game this weekend for the Dogs is Tennessee. Now, we saw the College Football Playoff Committee come out last night, and I'm getting hit up. You know, what's this mean? Are we in? Are we out? People are losing their minds. What would you say to Dog fans who look at this and go, all right, can we get in with two losses? Like, how are you viewing this, and what do you think Dog fans should be thinking?
You got to handle business Saturday. Don't worry about rankings on Tuesday. Don't worry about where you're at. You know, the ball's in your court. I think if you win Saturday, now don't sit here and think that Georgia Tech's going to be a cakewalk. That's going to be a knockdown, drag-out game again like it was last year for four quarters. And Tech had the chance to take the lead with 7 minutes to go. You know, everything's in front of Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, I would be – I'm telling you now, if I'm Kirby Smart, I they would have to drag me out of the SEC office. If I get held out 10-2 with the number one rated, you know, schedule, like they have been through you-know-what in this season. So – I think everything's in front of them now. You know, where you're going to end up and how this thing is going to play out. And there's going to, listen, somebody's going to get left out. And we knew that. Don't matter if it's 16, the 17th team would be pissed off. I mean, it's going to happen to somebody. And there's going to be SEC teams that would absolutely, and I don't care if it's Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, whoever, that would beat five or six of the other teams ranked in front of them on a neutral site. I believe that. But that's not the way this thing was set up. And that's not why college football did this. And you got to handle your business in front of you, and all Georgia needs to be worried about is Saturday night at 7:30.
And that's it. And hope that Ole Miss loses another game, because the way you could argue is that Georgia hopefully takes care of the Vols. The Aggies lose to the Longhorns, and then you get a Georgia Texas rematch, unless Ole Miss, you know, it comes the monkey with the wrench. Speaking of Ole Miss, Rusty, I know we talk. I always criticize Bobo sometimes to run the damn ball. Does Schumann deserve some criticism with that defensive scheme, or just I've never seen the Georgia linebackers and the defense just looking so out of whack. The yards after catch was a killer.
Well, that's what happened. You know what I mean? And it happens, and that's a wake up call. It was from top to bottom. They got out coached. They got out played. They got out tackled. They got out hit. They didn't look as fast to me, you know, and I know a lot of things are going on behind the scenes. Georgia's beat up. Nobody cares. I mean, everybody's beat up. You know what I mean? But their offensive line really was beat up last week, and that's going to tell the tale this week. And I think the third and 11, third and 12 from the one-yard line, I mean, that to me was like, you don't see that. Like, that was a bust. You don't see that from Georgia. And is this the best team? This is not 2021. It's not 2022, but – you know, how far can they go? How far can he get with his team? At times they show you. This is the one thing I tell Georgia fans. If they get beat Saturday night, it may happen. But I want to see Georgia play a clean game. If you get beat 24-23 and you play a clean game and it happens. But you want to see this team on paper play one clean game and see what they really can do. Because the best game they played this year, obviously, is Texas and the second half of Clemson. But can they put together on both sides of the ball? They're going to play a great defense this week. I mean, a really nasty defense. And I don't think people that don't know, this is a totally different Tennessee team than you kind of see. They want to run the football, and they're really good on defense. So, just from Georgia's perspective, I want to see what they can do, and can they turn this thing around quickly.
Rusty Manziel joining us, guys, from the Steakhouse. Obviously, you can follow him online as well and check out On3. They do a terrific job of all the sports they cover, and certainly college football. Rusty, what is your confidence level in the fact Carson Beck continues to be the conversation? He wasn't going to, you know, sit there and talk about him, and I didn't think he needed to. But what's your confidence level moving forward to do the things you're talking about to have the success that they need to have?
He just hasn't done it. You know what I mean? And he's done it at times when you really needed him. There's been those fourth quarter drives. There's been those third down completions to Arian Smith and all that. The body language of Carson, I don't really know what's going on. I have sat one-on-one with Carson Beck twice for Fox 5 interviews in the last probably 2 months. And he's been in really good, you know, really good spaces to me. But it's not translating on Saturday. And listen, you guys, I listen to y'all every day. And I know y'all talked about not having that safety valve of Brock Bowers there and Ladd McConkey. He doesn't have that, you know, and I don't know what that's playing into him. Does he trust receivers? Does he trust his linemen? He's in his head right now. I mean, I don't shy away from that. This guy's got all the tools, man. This guy, he is off the charts football smart. But right now, man, he doesn't have it, and he's going to have it Saturday. He's going to have to show those four quarters of what we've seen before. Now, he played really good against Tennessee last year on the road. But we're going to have to see that. And I'll say this, too. After Carl called Georgia mediocre and my phone went nuts, you know, Oh, by the way, I was going to get my first ever tattoo, my Dukes and Bell tramp stamp. I'm not doing that now because Carl messed my whole week up with my phone that day. But, you know what I mean? It's not just the Ole Miss game. It's the Florida game. You got eight quarters of a really bad sample size. So can they turn this thing? They're going home. This place is going to be bonkers. It's going to be nighttime, you know. It's going to be everything Sanford Stadium can be at times, and they've got all the energy. It's an elimination game. It is absolutely what Ole Miss was facing last week. This Georgia football team is facing it. If you can't elevate this week, it's a bigger problem than just in your head.
Oh, hell, Rusty, the game don't mean nothing. It's all about recruiting. What's going to happen with LaGonza Hayward out of Toombs County? I'll hang up and listen. Yeah. Understand the Vols are fighting for him.
So I tell you what, man, I got a job because people care. And I promise you right now, I had a phone call today about LaGonza Hayward. No doubt about it. Will he show up this weekend? He's a really good football player. You know, it's one of those who's who's. I was in Nashville last couple of days for meetings, and the number one quarterback in America in the 2026 class, it's one of the best arms I've ever seen in person. I actually went to practice to watch this kid, Jacob Kurt, and he's gonna be back. Jared Curtis, he's gonna be back in Athens this weekend after decommitting. He was at Oregon last weekend, but he's a junior. But this is special talent. So you start talking about the recruiting now. Y'all got 4 hours. We could cover that the rest of the day because they're gonna have a who's who on campus this weekend for sure. That night game really gives people chance to fly in. It gives kids a trip. Be able to travel from Nashville, kids from Jacksonville. It gives you some flexibility.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you are on top of this way more than others. What does next year's class look like? Like as far as where Kirby is right now, you know, we got the season to finish out, but we're just so accustomed to him having the one or two class in the country. What does it look like right now? And what is the strength of the kids that might be coming in? What's the area in which they feel like, hey, that's going to be a plus for us?
Well, Benny, thanks. Georgia fans are all over it. They know right now it's got to be wide receiver. And I'll tell you guys this. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. You get bored Friday night. You turn into Peachtree Sports, and you watch this kid named Elias Williams from Kingsland, Georgia, Camden County. This kid's 6'7". He's 240 pounds. And I've told this story before. Champ Bailey has called me about one kid in our entire relationship, ever. And he called me about this kid who was in the eighth grade. And Champ Bailey's from that area, Folkestone, Georgia, down there. And I'm telling you right now, this is one of the most gifted players I've ever covered in this size. And he's committed to Georgia. He's going to be on TV Friday night. They're coming out to play North Cobb. They got a kid named Talon Taylor out of Geneva, Illinois. He can't come because he's in the quarterfinals of the Illinois State Championship. They beat Ohio State on him. Ohio State was trying to get this guy. And he just fell in love with Athens, man. He just really liked it. Feels like he can play early. So the wide receiver group for Georgia and the skill player, they're going to ramp that room up. But they have got to have one or two portal wide receivers. They have got to have guys that can play, that can make plays right now for them. And I think that's going to be what Georgia fans follow. I think Georgia has a good shot, Carl, getting back. It's always going to be a top three class, in my opinion. They're going to get Jimmys and Joes.
Yep.
Can they get guys that can help them in August? That's the question.
Rusty Manziel is with us, guys, and you can follow him, of course, on Twitter. Hear him on the Steakhouse as well with On Three. Get all the latest on Georgia recruiting. You talked about the big tight end. You know, it just, Carl and I were talking about it yesterday, Russ. It just seems like, you know, all the hype about the guys that came in. I know Ra-Ra Thomas, that situation happened. Colby Young is still, unfortunately, you know, in limbo right now. But it seems to me like when Carson does make the play, sometimes these guys don't help him out, you know, and I get it. You don't replace Brock Bowers, you know, and for that matter, Ladd McConkey, but still, it seems like you're not getting what you need from your explosive players.
Consistent drops, you know, and I listen, I've been Arian Smith's like biggest mouthpiece. I mean, this guy's a 10-200. He's caught all these long passes. He's caught a couple third downs. He's done well. He just hasn't really got to be that number one guy. I think Dylan Bell's kind of, you know, he's a guy that shows potential at times. I related to you guys can relate this to, and a lot of our listeners probably can. When you go to a golf scramble and you got your A, B, C, and D guy, I think Georgia's got a few B players. You know what I mean? They need that A. They need that one guy that's your dog. And they don't have that right now, and they got to go find it. And they're trying to spread it out. You know, they're trying to spread it out and make plays there and different things. But they're not helping Carson back out at times. I think Georgia leads the country in drops, I'm pretty sure. And that's just another thing where you're in your head and everybody's pressing and nobody cares. I mean, it's big boy football, but that's reality. They're pressing. I can see it in their eyes. I can see it when these kids catch ball. You think those guys aren't catching 1,000 balls at practice? Kirby Smart's probably wearing those jug machines out, and they're probably catching them all day. But you got to do it when the lights are on. And I really would just like to see this team play one clean game and see what they're really capable of. They got a lot of talented football players, but they have got to upgrade the playmakers on the outside. I think they got some good running backs, Trevor Etienne. I like him. He's kind of fighting through it. Nate Frazier, bless his heart. I mean, this dude, I love this kid from California. But right now, man, he's got a case of the fumbles. He can't hold on to football. And they got to get that fixed from him. But he's really got a huge upside. So they got players, man. They've got to put it together. And if they don't put it together Saturday night, it's going to be some bad conversations next week around the city. I can tell you that.
Rusty, great job as always. Follow him, follow On Three, and hear him on the Steakhouse, guys. And you can watch him as well as he talked about high school football this weekend. We're getting ready to head into our state playoffs as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Rusty, man, great job.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all.
Yeah, cool, man. Now, I guess the only thing waiting to see is Ia Maleva. Is he going to be able to get in there with that concussion protocol? Because it's a little different than the NFL. It's basically at the discretion of the medical staff at Tennessee.
I know we got Yeah Man, No Man coming up, but I hope you heard all of that. Like, Rusty is telling you this is still a really good football team, right? But you're dealing with all these issues individually that collectively as a team, you're having a hard time overcoming. Quarterback in between the ears.
Right.
Receivers drops. Can't consistently run the football. When you do, you've got guys fumbling the football.
Miss assignments on defense. Right.
All of these things are individual, but collectively they're holding the team back from being what it should be. Yeah Man, No Man's next. We're live at Flowery Branch. Turtle, what is going on? We are live at Flowery Branch. Coming up, we got more on the Falcons. You'll hear Coach Raheem Morris and our conversation with Justin Simmons. What's happening, Turtle?
Let me just say this. We talk to a lot of athletes in this town.
Yes.
Justin Simmons was by far one of the most impressive that we've spoken to, I think. He's the man. He's got everything you need when it comes to not only being an all-pro player, but talked about his charity, talked about everything else. He was an impressive dude.
I think, you know, when we're up here the last, 4 years we've been doing this, it's so cool to get the interaction. And you guys hear these guys and, you know, get this behind the scenes, Carl. And as I said, you know, when Justin was in here, yes, we hear about the silly stuff around all of professional sports, but almost everybody to a man is involved in the community. And I think we take it for granted sometimes. But the way he goes about it and the mission statement, guys like him and Grady and everybody else, it's really cool. Win or lose this year, I think as a Falcon fan, you can be proud of that, you know, if nothing else.
Yeah, those things don't make headlines. And that's why, you know, nobody talks about it. But, yeah, I totally agree, man. And he's a hell of a player. I hope, you know, we continue to get better.
Good news and bad news, gentlemen. Good news. If this goes through and it works seamlessly, we'll see. I don't think you'll ever have what happened with the Braves last year and Bally Sports ever again. Bad news, they're using the wrong model. I believe.
Okay.
You know how MLS is now a tier within a tier?
Yeah.
You got to pay for Apple, and then you got to pay for the MLS. Well, FanDuel Sports Network is apparently going to be taking the same approach, this time with Prime Video. Right. They are going to be launching a service that will allow you to stream FanDuel Sports Network from anywhere, essentially, as long as it's within the designated geographic area for the teams that you play or that you watch. So for us, it's the Hawks and it's the Braves on FanDuel Sports Network. So they're going to be launching it, but it's going to be another tier. So even though you have Amazon Prime, that doesn't mean you have direct access to the FanDuel network. It will be something that you will have to pay a la carte for. And apparently, you can even go down to game by game. which is interesting. Huh. Now, the price tiers, I don't believe, have been released just yet, but it does say that Diamond Sports Group announced a multi-year agreement with Prime Video, enabling direct-to-consumer, DTC, local access, serving 16 regional sports networks across 31 states. So, yeah, man, no, man, I think we can see both the positives and a potential setback go if we go off of the Apple model, where now if you want to watch Atlanta United, you have to have the tier within the tier.
There was an article that came out a few weeks ago when the season ended that the Braves weren't, like, down with the business model. I mean, full disclosure, Carl works for FanDuel Network.
Yeah.
But it's just, I know there's some legal wrangling with some of the issues there, but, I mean, I know it's a great cut-the-cord debate, Carl. There's still a lot of folks that would love to have everything in one platform. But that just isn't the way things work. But, I mean, give me a – what's the price point? I mean, what's the number going to be? I mean, $100 for the season?
It has not been disclosed
yet. And what is your pain threshold, too? Therein lies all those a la carte arguments we have about TV.
Yeah, and I think per game, I'm guessing here, like, what, $6 a game, right? That's what we're talking about? If I just want to see
right. –
let's just say there are two games this week that I want to see, but I don't want the whole season pass, right? So I'm going to go week by week, game by game. All right, so I got to pay $12 or $15 to see those two games this week. To Mike's point, okay, is that cheaper over the course of the season? And here's what usually happens, right? You know this. If the team ends up being really good, you are more interested to buy more games, and then you end up spending more during the a la carte thing versus I should have just invested in the season and been done with it. Either way, I'm with you, Turtle. I don't like the model, but I do think that they're trying to figure this out. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. This is going to be trial by error.
Yeah.
Right? This is going to be, we're doing this. Okay, does that work? Do consumers like it? We've got to try this. And at some point, it will work itself out. But I will say this, Mike, the other part of what, you know, some of these teams are trying to do, guys, we live in a very special market. The Braves are different. You cannot do what the Braves may attempt to do, which is eventually try to have their own thing.
Right.
In some of these other smaller regional markets where you just don't have the fandom or the pool. You put the Braves on, and people don't even think about this. They're, and this, again, Mike, we talk about it. Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida. You can go all around the Southeast. There is an audience for that. I cannot tell you there's an audience for some of these other teams that are getting out of this deal and saying, hey, we're going to try to do our own thing. Good luck. It's not going
to
happen.
And the smaller teams really need Major League Baseball to step up. Now, I know that you can get the Major League Baseball package. It's more. I think the NHL does a great job. I get the center ice package, $69.
That's a good deal.
That's the best
deal. That's a good deal.
Of all the major sports. I mean, I guess Apple comes in right around the same cost. But it's just, yeah, it's. I know that the streaming is the way to go. It's just, you know, it's funny. We always joke around, like, tomorrow night, make sure I get home nice and early after the show because the 15 minutes will take me to figure out how to get the Amazon on. Sound like an old guy. Get the Amazon on. They'd be out of the great room. Big screen. That's the smart TV. The other smart TV, I don't know Becky's password.
So, two different.
I'm out of the loop.
You got two different remotes. You got one with DirecTV. This is also from Evan Drellick to close the loop on this. This is a reported non-exclusive deal, meaning that there will be other ways to sign up for Diamond/FanDuel streaming products.
Correct.
Basically, Prime is going to be a portal, just like you can sign up for HBO Max or other services within Prime. You'll be able to do that for Diamond and FanDuel.
Yeah, and again, not knowing all the particulars of any of this stuff, this is me just commenting. Right. You're going to need partners like this in this new world we're living in to maneuver all of this. You can't just be one network and have all the things, so that's why you're seeing these partnerships and to your point, you know, being in the portal and I can go there to access it. You can get stars on Amazon Prime.
Right.
Right? You can get all the other channels. It makes total sense.
By the way, Friday night, we talked about this in Guy Talk. So the Tyson-Paul fight, that's just on my Netflix, right?
Correct.
Just plug in?
Correct.
Watch? Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that's how they've been doing their live comedy specials as well. All right, this is interesting. A lighter side of Tom Brady. It only took him getting to the Fortune Global Forum in New York City where he opened up and got emotional.
Oh.
Quote, it sucks to be Tom Brady's son in so many ways. Quote, I've screwed up a lot as a parent. Brady sat down on the panel and opened up, admitting his parental flaws and letting you inside his progress and healing and growth following his divorce.
Oh.
Yeah, man, no, man. Do you like this behind-the-scenes access that a lot of athletes are starting to give us now that we haven't seen before? Because I know back when I was watching Michael Jordan as a kid, I didn't know anything. I don't know. I knew him as a player.
Different world. As Carl always says, social media, things might be different, getting underneath people's fingernails. I mean, yeah, with Brady, it's just like it's he's kind of a riddle, and I think you do see the image that he wants to put out there publicly, but I still think there's some stuff that he keeps inside. I do think that I think he regrets certain things that happened this offseason. I think he regrets coming back for football. I think he certainly regrets the roast.
Yeah, I do too.
Speaking of his kids, and you know, his kids having to deal with all that stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I don't know. He is arguably the most identifiable star other than LeBron or Tiger. I guess he's up there, 1, 2, 3. But I don't know. He's just not compelling to me in the broadcast booth. You know, as far as bringing it back to sports?
Not yet, anyway, no.
I've watched 4 Brady games, and I understand there's a learning curve, but, John Madden stepped in and did it. Romo stepped in and did it. Olsen stepped in and just had it. Brady is just a guy. Nothing special about Tom Brady on TV.
No, there's not. And I think ultimately what it's going to come down to is, Mike, you put it perfectly, he's mercurial, and he needs to find that balance of which Brady do I want to be? Do I want to be the self-effacing person that's going to let you in and be this multifaceted personality, or am I going to be a football broadcaster? Those are the two paths I think he's trying to, like the Kim Kardashian, I'm going to let you in and see my whole life to profit off of it, or am I just going to be another celebrity? That's the line.
If your dad, unfortunately, is uber successful, you more likely are going to have a hard time.
Right. Yeah.
That is what Tom is saying about his son. But you know who else his son is going through that? LeBron.
LeBron. I mean, see, that's the thing. But LeBron puts his son up there where you become a punching bag because, look, we still believe in merit in sports. And it was just everybody in the league knows it. It's just the kid. Like, it's a great story. The kid nearly died on the court, in practice for USC. But still.
Yep. And it's
you don't
great.
Deserve to be in the NBA. That makes it tougher for the kid.
You see the latest with him, by the way?
No.
He's only going to play home games for the league.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he's not going to travel.
No.
Okay.
See, that doesn't earn you a lot of goodwill from the folks that are on the fence about you.
No. But they already guaranteed him his money, so I don't know if it matters.
Right.
But that's what I would tell you about Brady opening up, man. I mean, like, the crazy thing is, and now we're about to get, put you on the couch. We all do the most we can for the people in our lives to have a better life than we did. And then you get to be successful like these guys.
Right.
And your kids have the toughest time because of what you've done. And in the world of sports, it's the craziest thing. So I hear Brady, but like, would you trade any of your rings?
No.
Would you trade any of your experiences or your Super Bowls or who you've become? Would you trade in being the GOAT? He's going to tell you no, but that's part of it. And now he said, it's tough to be Tom Brady's son. Well, you don't think.
All right, Oren, pour me a shot of avocado tequila and hit my music.
Yeah, can I have one? I'd like one of those. I had a tough night last night, Mike.
My Netflix expired. I just got to do my new password.
Oh, really? Did
password? Yeah. Well, I tried to watch it last
night.
Oh,
you cut the payment off?
Well, I don't know. Becky, I thought she had it. I guess she used. I think we stole. I think we were using Aunt Matilda's password from the condo in Naples. So technically, we were not paying for Netflix.
Oh, I got you.
So now I've got to go in and do it the right way.
Okay, I got you. Yes. And now so you were using someone else's account.
$15.49 without ads. So add that to your annual TV bill.
Yeah, that's correct. No, I was saying, man.
you got a weird story.
Well, and I'll tell you. I don't. We'll talk about it here in the 4 o'clock hour. But man, yesterday I get this call from my wife, and I'm like, what? Stay there. I'm going to tell you all about it. And, guys, it's a message for everybody listening right now. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.